Getting to the heart of your finances. That's our topic today on Bold Steps with Mark Job.
If you were given double what you have now and you haven't learned to manage what you have, you would be in the same situation with a lot of money that you are in with a little money. That's what Jesus is saying.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We're in our series called Be the Change, and a big component of change is all about action. More specifically, in order for us to be the change we want to see, we have to do something. We can't just sit around and wait for good things to happen. We have to be intentional. And Mark, you're going to show us how we can actively use our finances today to change our families.
I used to avoid speaking about finances when I first started pastoring.
Really?
I was in the inner city. I felt like people have little money, and I didn't want to turn people off by talking about finances.
Uh-huh.
But as I started reading through Scripture, I realized the Bible has so much to say about how we steward our resources. And I realized I was doing a disservice, so I started making a point. There's so many people that are in debt and so many people that are struggling and stressed out over finances. When we start understanding God's principles, it is liberating.
Yeah.
And so I think our listeners are really going to enjoy this message as we talk about the heart of the matter, especially when it comes to finances.
Good. We used to say your checkbook is like a spiritual journal. Now we have to say it's your online account. It's like your spiritual journal, right? But regardless, that's the issue. So the heart of the matter is Mark's message, and it starts right now.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. A parable that Jesus taught that for some people is the most confusing, difficult to understand parable that Jesus ever gave. And as we read it, you'll understand why it's difficult to understand. Verse 1 says that Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So the rich man, who was the owner of the business, called in the manager and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The rich man who owned a business hears that his manager's not doing a good job, and so he's ready to give them the pink slip. He's ready to fire him. Verse 3. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. This manager is thinking about his future and saying, uh-oh, I'm going to be fired. So my back's not strong enough to dig holes and have a labor job. My pride's too strong. I don't want to be out on the street begging. So I have a strategy to ensure that I'll have some favor when I'm fired. So verse 5 says, so the manager called each one of his master's debtors. The manager obviously was in charge of accounts, and so he called people that owed his master money. And he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? The first man said, 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. That's a lot of olive oil. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it for 400. He cut his bill in half. And then he found a second debtor, and he said, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. And he told him, take your bill and make it 800. So he cut this man's bill down a fifth. Now here's where it gets interesting. Verse 8. The master, the owner, Jesus said, commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Shrewdly means Someone who acts strategically, smart about it. He's got a strategy. He's figured something out. Even though he lost his owner money, the owner of the business money, he was acting shrewdly. And then Jesus says this, the point of the parable is this: for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. Now let me say that again. Jesus tells a parable and then says, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was not, he was not commending this manager for dishonesty. He was commending this manager because he had a strategy and a plan for the future. And Jesus says, you know, sometimes the people of the world that are involved in business and making money, they're smarter than the people of God who are involved in kingdom business. And sometimes people that are out there who have a business are more committed to their business than the people of God are committed to the business of the kingdom. Sometimes people out there in the world put more energy, creativity, enthusiasm, strategy, effort into making their business go forward, into making money, than the people of God put into advancing the kingdom of God. Sometimes the people of the world are more shrewd than the people of God are. Interesting that Jesus would say that, huh? And then he goes on and he gives us some principles. Now I want to focus on these. In verse 9, Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Let me take the first phrase and understand it. Use worldly wealth. You know, some people think that money is good, and some people think that money is bad. Have you ever heard the phrase, money is the root of all evil? How many of you have heard that phrase? How many of you have heard people say, money is the root of all evil? How many of you have heard, doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? Is that what the Bible says? No. The Bible never says, that's misquoting that verse. The Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. You see, money is neutral. It's not good, it's not bad. Someone said, well, it's not good or bad, but I'd like to have some just to test it out. Money's neutral. It's like a chainsaw. A chainsaw is neutral. There's no morality in a chainsaw, but if you use it to cut down a tree to build houses, it's good. If you use it to chase your mother-in-law around, it's bad. It's not a good thing. It's neutral. Money can be used for incredible good, but it also can be used for incredible bad. With money, we build churches and sponsor orphanages, but with money, we also build prostitution houses and gambling casinos. Money is a neutral power that can be used for good or bad. And Jesus says, he says, use money. Use money. In other words, don't avoid the tool, use it. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into the eternal dwelling. Now, as you look at different scholars' interpretation of what this passage may mean, the essence is that you can use worldly money to impact eternal values. In other words, you can use worldly money that eventually has an eternal impact beyond this world. And I want to talk to you for a moment about that. You know, when I first started pastoring, I avoided the topic of money because I thought, well, you know, people need to hear about spiritual things, not about money. they can go to a financial counselor to hear about money, or they can go to an investment banker to hear about money, or they can listen to a television program. But I don't want to talk about money in the church, because money is not a spiritual thing. But the more I talk to people, the more I realize how many people were in big trouble because of mismanagement of money and a misunderstanding of money. And the more I read my Bible, the more I discovered that the Bible has a lot to say about money. In fact, there's more verses about money and possessions and finances in the Bible than there is about love, baptism, or faith. And the reason that God talks a lot about finances and money is that because our finances and money are a spiritual thing, not just a physical thing. And so your spirituality affects the way that you manage your resources or your finances. And I want to make sure that as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a person of faith, that you understand what the Bible has to say about money and finances. Let me just clarify up front that having money does not make you more spiritual, and having less money does not make you more spiritual. I've run into people with a lot of money that are very godly, and I've run into people with very little money that are very godly. And I've run into wealthy people that are very ungodly, and I've run into poor people that are very ungodly. Your bank account doesn't make you more or less spiritual. Don't think that because you have less money that you're more spiritual than a wealthy person is. Because the level of our bank account does not determine our spirituality or where we stand before God. It's the way we manage our money that reflects our godliness or spirituality. Well, let me say that again. The amount of money you have does not make you more or less spiritual. It's how you manage your money that reflects your spirituality.
We'll continue Mark Jobe's message in just a moment, the heart of the matter. But let's pause for a moment, Mark, because we're so happy for the response we're getting to the Bold Stepper Weekly, this email from you that comes to our email box when we sign up for it. A listener wrote in just this week and said, "Thank you for everything you do to feed my soul with God's truth." So that's wonderful encouragement.
It really is. And we love getting feedback, by the way, from our listeners. We're not able to see you face to face as these messages go out over the radio, but we love getting emails and feedback, and a lot of you are signing up for the Bold Stepper, so we're really encouraged by that.
The Bold Stepper Weekly, you'll find it on our website. Sign up. It's free. It's easy to get. It comes automatically to your inbox every Monday morning, and it will encourage you with God's truth. As this listener said, it will feed your soul with God's truth. Hey, Mark, one more thing. Coming up this Saturday is the Walkworthy Men's Conference online. So anyone listening right now, regardless of where you live in the country, men, you can sign up for this.
That's the beauty of this Walkworthy Men's Conference. We're really excited about this. And doesn't matter if you live in California and you're listening to us, or in Dallas, Texas, or Chicagoland, this is a webinar, so it is online. And we have the legendary Tony Evans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mark Jobe. But no, you're there too, right?
I'm just sort of a sidekick opener here. But Tony Evans, he just speaks so powerfully to men.
Yeah.
He's got several books that have just touched my heart, and he has a message that's powerful. I know you're going to be blessed by that. So if you have not registered yet, then you need to register like right now, because it's happening this Saturday.
Yep. MoodyConferences.com is where you go to register, and it only costs $10 for this conference, online conference, Walkworthy, a conference for men from Moody Bible Institute featuring Mark Jobe and Tony Evans. Go to MoodyConferences.org to sign up for this Saturday's event. All right, let's get back into your message now here today, the heart of the matter. Here's Mark Jobe.
I know there's some pastors out there and some preachers out there that are what I would call prosperity preachers or pastors that kind of tell you that if you're more spiritual, you'll be driving a Lexus instead of a Chevy. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you're more spiritual, you'll have more money. I don't believe that because I've been to very, very poor. I've been to Africa where people were very, very poor, but at the same time, very, very spiritual. I've seen some very godly poor people. But I do believe that the way that you manage your money gives a powerful reflection of your spirituality. And so I want you to keep these principles in mind. I have three principles I want you to understand today as we talk about being the change and understanding the resources that God has given you that I really want you to grasp. Number one, I believe that God has really called us to a culture of generosity. You'll never give of your love, of your faith, of your time, of your compassion until you understand that you have something to give. I believe God has called us as believers to live in generosity. So if we're going to create a culture of generosity, and that's part of my goal at this church, is that we create a culture of generosity. That this church is a church that gives. That we're known as a people that give and bless. That we're not known as takers, but that we're known as givers. I want that every New Life that's planted in any neighborhood in Chicago, that people will want a New Life there because they know that we're a church that gives and helps, contributes to the neighborhood. I want that to be our reputation, a culture of generosity. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. A generous culture is released when I understand that what I do with the little shows what I would do with more. I talked to you a little bit about this last week, and let me reiterate it. Jesus said it this way: He who is faithful in the very little thing is also faithful in the much. And he who is unrighteous in the very little thing is unrighteous in the much. I want you to understand this principle. Listen, this is huge. There was a survey that was done a while back to ask people what it would take for them to be living the American dream. People that were making $25,000 a year were asked, what would it take to help you feel like you're living the American dream? And in essence, what they said is, if I made $50,000, I feel like I would be sort of close to living the American dream. They asked people that were making $100,000 what it would take for them to feel like they were living the American dream. And they said, if I were making $200,000, then I feel like I could really live the American dream. Most people felt if they were making double the amount of money that they're currently making, that they feel like they'd be doing pretty good. Think about that. Maybe you thought that. Maybe you thought, you know, if I just were making double. Now, if I could just convince my boss. See, we think that if we had more, things would change. Some people, right now, if I were to ask you, if you're struggling with saving, if I were to ask you, what would it take for you to save? And you say, well, if I just had more money, I would start a savings account and a college fund and do a little bit more with my retirement. If I had more money, then I would put money aside. Some of you would say, you know, Pastor, I really like to give to people and to orphanage and to mission. I like to tithe to the church, but I just don't have enough money. If I had more money, then I would start tithing and I would really bless the people of God. Some of you say, well, if I just had more money, then I would not be in debt because I would be able to pay my bills and I wouldn't be in debt if I had more money. And I want you to understand that the Bible says that's not true. Here's what God says about money. In essence, what the Bible says about money is that however you manage the little that you have now, if you were given double what you have now, in essence, you would do the same thing with double. If you're in debt now and were given double, you would just be in bigger debt because you would have bigger bills and bigger cars. If you were given double what you have now and you haven't learned to manage what you have, you would be in the same situation with a lot of money that you are in with a little money. That's what Jesus is saying. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, I know if I just made double the amount of money, my problems would be solved. Well, let me give you just a case example. Have you ever heard of the people that win the lottery? I've seen the story, people that win the lottery and they say, well, I was in so much debt. Oh, we were barely surviving. We were in a lot of debt. Thank God. I just won $5 million. Yay! My troubles are over. Then they interview them 3 years later. I'm more miserable now than I ever was before. I don't know where all that money went. I got relatives I never even met that said they were related to me. Everybody and their mother wanted a piece of me. Everybody wanted to be my friend now. And I don't know where that, I got bad counselor. There was a bad advisor that told me what to do. I don't know what happened. I'm in debt again. Well, what happened to $5 million? Let me tell you what happened to $5 million. What happened to $5 million is that whatever you were doing with $25,000, you started doing with $5 million. And if you were in debt with $25,000, then you'll be in debt with $5 million because the problem is not what you don't have. The problem is what are you doing with what you do have? Jesus said it this way. If you're faithful with the little, then you'll be faithful with the much when it's given to you. If you're unfaithful with the little, then you'll be unfaithful with the increase that you get. That's why the passage of Scripture where Jesus says, whoever does not have it will be taken away, and whoever has will be given more, doesn't sound fair, does it? Have you ever read that and said, that doesn't sound right? Whoever does not have it will be taken away from them, and whoever has will be given more. We say, wait, the person that doesn't have should be given more, and the person that has should be taken away. No, that's not what Jesus says, because what Jesus is saying is that when we are faithful with the little that we have, more will be given to us, and when we're unfaithful, it will be taken away and given to someone that's more faithful. If you're in sales, and out of 10 salespeople, you're the one that always comes in last in the amount of sales that are made, and you're always bottom of the ring. You think that the boss is going to sit down with all 10 and say, hey, Joe over here is always last. And since he's last, we're going to give him more. To give him just a little encouragement. We're going to give him some of our best accounts. We're going to feed more in his direction. No, you know what a boss says? A boss says, hey, Jim is doing good. So we're going to take the accounts that come in and we're going to give it to Jim. We're going to give more to Jim because Jim has shown that what he has, he handles well. And so we're going to keep giving more to Jim because he's shown himself faithful with what he has. Listen, this is a principle that applies to every area of our life, not just finances. You say, well, Pastor, I really want to get married. I really want to get married. Okay, well, how are you handling your dating relationship? You know, can't expect to get married when you can't even date well. I just want a wife. I just don't want to date. Okay, well, you know, learn to handle what you have so that God can give you increase of more. Jesus said that's the principle.
Learning to let God be in control of your finances. That's the topic of today's message from pastor, author, and Bible teacher Mark Jobe. And this is Bold Steps. Well, whether it's through our family life or our finances, there is a yearning in us all to provide for our families, to accomplish great things. Yet for so many people, there's also a restlessness that runs as deep as the marrow of our bones. They change jobs, switch churches, find new friend groups. And to be honest, our culture doesn't help. Each day we're told that we can be new people by buying that new car or a new home or a new tube of toothpaste. But in her book, Born to Wander, author Michelle Van Loon gives us another option. By learning how to embrace your inner wanderer as you reorient your heart toward God. Her book is our gift to you when you support the ministry of Bold Steps with a financial gift of any amount. Call us at 844-615-7363. or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. boldstepsradio.org. You can also send your donation in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And as an added bonus, when you give a gift of $30 or more each month, you'll be adding your name to the list of Bold partners who help us in getting out the good news of Jesus Christ to listeners across the country. Signing up is quick and easy online at boldstepsradio.org. Now, when you connect with us today, be sure to let us know how we can pray for you and your family, or share how God is using the Bible teaching of Mark Job in his daily program to help you be the change. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll continue this lesson on finances. That's coming up Thursday on the next edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.